Who are you? Why are you here today? Why are you sitting here today? What are you exactly? And why are you you? I gotta make sure I coordinate all this. There we go. You are a summation of prior events, right? You are just, each event in your life has left a mark. Each event has made you who you are today. Psalms 139 and verse 13 through 18. So if we highlight verse 13 and 14 here. For you form my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame is not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Each event we go through, there we go. Each event we go through is a scar. Each event has left a mark in our life, has it not? Some marks are beautiful marks, and we like to show those off. We can see those marks. Some marks are not ones that we can see quite so clearly sometimes. For it's like 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 11 to 13 says, but in verse 12, for we now see through a glass darkly. God has worked in your life. He knows the end from the beginning. Isaiah 46, verses 9 through 13 states, remember the former things, those of long ago. I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say, my purpose will stand. I will do what I please. From the east, I summon a bird of prey, from a far off land, a man to fulfill my purpose. What I have said, I will bring about. What I have planned, that I will do. Listen to me, you stubborn-hearted, for you are now far from righteousness. I am bringing my righteousness near. It is not far away. My salvation will not be delayed. I will grant my salvation to Zion, my splendor to Israel. We are something that God has designed us to be. He's worked in our lives. He's worked in us. He has made us who we are. If we go back to the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? He created lights, stars, planets, land and sea, skies and seas, grass and trees, fish and birds, animals, and then man. And then God stopped and rested, right? Now, maybe he was tired. I always kind of think about, why did God stop after all that time? Maybe he was pleased and he was content and just want to soak it up a little bit. Maybe he was resting up. Maybe he's getting ready for what was about to come, what was about to change the universe. Because man is not simple. Man requires an environment, right? He requires oxygen, temperature, has to be a certain temperature, has to have water, we have to have warmth. We've seen the presentations where we know this planet is sitting in a certain spot in the universe for a reason. Man requires man, though. Man requires a spouse, requires children, requires family, friends, colleagues, congregations, cities, nations. Each of these have their own individual requirements, too, right? Each of those individuals have their own environment, have their own requirements as well for their own lives. God knew his creation was really complex. Complex and designed for man to survive and to thrive. This environment, though, is scarring, is it not? It scars you. It leaves you wounded. The events that we face shape us, mold us, design us. The book of Job. Go through Job's trials, right? You can see something going on there, even though Job didn't have a clue until the end. Actually, nobody had a clue until the end, right? Except for God. Paul's life as Saul. There's a bunch of events that he went through. And that made him who he then became as Paul. David's trials. He went through a number of trials, and he had a heart after God. God's a heart that God loved, right? He went through all kinds of trials. Daniel's trials. Those were scars on their lives. Those were scars that shaped those men to be who they were. The Bible's full of those stories. Man himself, though, is not so simple. We individually are really complex beings. We're complex and highly designed. We're just not a blob of gel like we thought we were 150 years ago. We're made up of genes and cells and organs. Those organs make up systems in your body. Those body systems create and have to work together to form you. We have about 20,000 genes in our body. There's hundreds of millions of cells in your bodies. And there's more hundreds of millions of cells that are bacteria living in your gut. That's a pretty complex process because each of those cells is alive. Each of those genes in those cells have to be turned on and off. That's something called epigenetics. I don't know if you follow that much, but or heard that term before. But that's the developmental process we can think of right now is an embryo. Those genes can get turned on and go out of control and create cancer. Those cells can get turned off when they shouldn't be turned off and create death. Mutations happen. Now, we have error correction systems that we could go into, but we have the sequence itself, the DNA. We have, well, this is me. That's my chromosomes. Those chromosomes have to be expressed, have genes on them, have to be expressed at certain times. You get errors in the code. Those codes have to be, actually, I can probably, the slide, yeah, I don't want to mess up the slide today. But those codes, that DNA has to be read. That RNA has to be read, or DNA turned into RNA. That RNA has to then been spliced and cut and processed so that it can be read again to be turned into proteins, the amino acid chains. Those proteins then have to function. Now, some of them work 100% like they're supposed to. Some of them don't work 100%. They're working at 50% or 40%. Maybe they're working at 10%, and you get a genetic disease. Mutations, though, they come in all types of flavors. So I took a verse here, and some of you may recognize the verse. I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Israel. Out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Small deletions now. Small deletion, just think of this sentence as a gene. Okay, it's not, but go with me on this. Small deletions don't really cause a change in the sequence of the sentence. I am the Lord that got brought you out of the house of Israel. But if you drop out the U out of house, it's hose, but you know, you get it, right? It's out of the hose of bondage. Actually, it kind of sounds bondage to anyways. There are other types of deletions that are in-frame deletions. There's dozens of these, but we'll go through a couple of them. In-frame deletions can be where the DNA is cut out in its exact way, but it just removes one amino acid from the ultimate protein. Those in-frame deletions make a slight change, but we still get it. If we're reading that up there, which have brought thee of the land of Egypt. We kind of get the sentence. It still makes sense. It's still complete enough that it gets the function done that it needs to. It infers the thought that you're supposed to understand, i.e. the gene is expressing a protein that still works pretty well. And then we get large deletions that totally change the meaning. I am the Lord thy God, which have brought Egypt out of the house of bondage. Well, that's not quite what it's supposed to say, right? That doesn't make a lot of sense. And then you get another type of mutations called an inversion mutation, which, again, make no sense. I am the Lord thy dog, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Again, totally changes the context, right? Because we know dog isn't up there. So anyways. So how do we handle these? We can correct them immediately. Our body has DNA polymerases that will correct these mutations immediately and fix them. But in our life, we have mutations that maybe we can correct that mutation quickly. We can learn our lesson. We can heal up the cut in our skin. Okay, we're not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to hammer a stake into the ground with the back of an axe and split my finger open and create a permanent scar. on stitches, and that was fun, but it's working now. Maybe we can't get rid of those mutations. We can learn to work around them. We learn to compensate for that knee that keeps going out. Maybe for that hip that just isn't quite the same as it was before when we were a little bit younger. Maybe the scar isn't seen. Maybe it's there working on you, working in your mind, reminding you that something's not right. You know, something's just a little off. I don't quite feel like I did when I was 10 years ago or last week. Something's a little off. There's something going on. And we try to compensate for them. Yeah, and if we can't work around them, we try to compensate them. So we'll deal with maybe being a little hobbled a little bit. Man, the knee's not right, but we're going to compensate. We're going to get around it. We're going to have to deal with less function. Maybe it was my hand. You know, it had to be cut off for some reason. You know, there's something like that in the Bible, isn't there? If there's a cancer growing in it, you have to remove it. It has to come out. Cancer is a genetic disease. It's not going to respond to fruits and vegetables and vitamins. It's going to have to be attacked at the same intensity that it exists. It's a genetic disorder at the ultimate level. It has to be chopped out. It has to have targeted drugs, chemotherapy, immunotherapy. There's all kinds of fantastic therapies that are coming on today that fights the cancer at a hard level, at the same level that it is. Nope, that was F slide. Genetic diseases and treatment. So I treat genetic diseases. Some of these diseases, there's a disorder called cobalamin C disease. It's a vitamin B12 metabolism disorder. So your body absorbs B12, but then it can't break it down to make the so it can be a cofactor to work the enzyme so it's supposed to work. And people who have this, children who have this, have severe learning problems. They have failure to thrive. They can have seizures. They can have eye disease. There's all kinds of things. Some of it actually we can treat with nutrition. We can reduce the amount of protein in their diet so they're not getting the proteins and they're creating the acids that accumulate in their bodies. We can actually, it's a B12 metabolism disorder, so we give them mega doses of vitamin B12 to kind of boost the pathways around it, to kind of augment and get around that block and, you know, hopefully overcome the problem or get the acids down to a level where they're acceptable. But it really still doesn't remove the ultimate problem. We still got to replace the enzyme that isn't able to be replaced right now. We need some way, artificial or invasive way, to replace that enzyme. So that's what gene therapy is going to do. And that's how it's changing the world we're going to live in over the next 10, 15 years. We need a fundamental therapy that will not just compensate, get around, hide it, but actually fix the problem at the base level. And some fascinating technologies that are coming down the way. So, what errors or scars or damage, what mutations are present in your life? As I was talking about this, did some of that kind of sound like, well, I can relate to that at some level maybe. Maybe not from a health perspective, but maybe spiritually. Maybe you're just compensating for something. I'm just going to eat healthier, think happier, and I'm going to be okay. And for some things, yeah. Maybe that's enough. That's a bad habit. Yeah, I'm going to own it. Yep, that's my problem. I got it. I'll deal with it. Done. Maybe I don't think we should eat meat given to idols, for instance. Maybe, you know, I'm growing, I'm maturing, and I'm going to learn not to drink milk, and I'll really understand the way, and I'll fix that problem. I won't be offended. Maybe you can just deal with it. Maybe you can just accept being a little less functional. You know, this mutation's a little bit more severe, this scar. You know, my knee is really that bad. I really just have to alter my life and not run 5 miles every day or every week or whatever it is. It's a scar you can accept. Okay, I can't run anymore. You know, I can't deal with alcohol or drugs, so I'm not going to drink anymore. I'm not going to do those things anymore. I'm going to accept my limitations and accept that scar. Maybe be stronger because of it. Maybe your mutations are in the code itself. Maybe instead of spelling agape, you keep saying love. You say love, but that's just getting along with your brother, isn't it? Well, that's a God thing. I don't really get what godly love is. Don't really want to try, but yeah, okay, I'll nod my head. Maybe love is just sex to you. But agape is different, isn't it? Maybe your code is saying you're going to have 10 cities, and then when you get your 10 cities, you're going to teach everybody there how they're supposed to act. Maybe you can't really read the fruits of evil without saying, that one's not so bad, is it? Galatians 5, verse 19 through 21. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Idolatry. What in your life is more important than God? Is there something that interrupted you from God this week? Hatred. Well, he really did do me wrong, even though it did happen 32 years ago. Contention. I'm justified. They're wrong. So we're not going to get along anymore. Forever. Done. Period. Jealousy. You know, God's jealous too. Right? That's okay. Self-ambition. Ambition's a good thing. Absolutely. It motivates us and moves us forward. But is your ambition doing what is best for God? Doing what is best for your spouse, for your future family you don't have yet? Is it doing what is best for someone else? Maybe your scar is too much. Maybe your scar is pain that doesn't go away. Maybe it's depression, anger, fear, and anxiety. We have a lot of this in the world today, don't we? I get it. I see it. I know what it's like. We've failed at this for many decades. The world has failed at this for many decades, right? We put a gloss on things like it's amazing. But the spiritual needs, the spiritual losses in this world are getting more intense. The world's going to need more help. It's getting more severe. You can see it every day in the news. Tune in, listen. If you don't listen to the news, listen. It's bad out there. The world is spiritually lost, psychologically lost, socially lost. Don't hold up. Don't run away. There may be a moment for this, and there is, but it isn't a treatment, is it? Find a treatment that matches the wound, matches the mutation, matches the scar. Before the wound fails to heal, that something scarred, whatever remains when that scar sets in, isn't deforming what should be there. Mutations, genetic differences, polymorphisms, I can go through the technical terms, but in your life, they're just scars. It's an error, it's a cut. A cut can be healed, leaving your tissue a little bit stronger than it was before, a little more fibrous, a little more dense. It's a different type of tissue, but it's there, it's healed, it's functional. It's going to return to much the same tissue, but there's still a permanent effect, isn't there? Mutations are what make us unique. And they make us different. They are the things, the milder mutations, the polymorphisms, we'll call them, is what they're technically would be. They actually are the differences that we all are. Biologically, it's probably why some of us have bigger noses, and some of us have smaller noses, and some of us get gray earlier, and some of us get gray later. That's normal variation. That's normal mutations, polymorphisms. This is why some of us suffer, and some of us don't seem to. But we're still suffering. We still got our scars. God designed you this way. He invested his time, his energy, his love into making your biology work. The genetics works. You're sitting here, it works. He got it right. He invested his time, his energy, and his love into making your world work too. He wants you in his kingdom. He wants you in his family. You got to understand this, really understand this, and be thankful for it. God wants you there. He's designed you to be there, whatever that scar is, or those scars, plural. God's made it possible through the sacrifice of his first son. Are you thankful for the scars? Are you thankful for those mutations in your life? There's a song called it's called Scars by I Am They. My children know it because I play it a little bit too often nowadays. I'm thankful for the scars because without them, I wouldn't know your heart. Because I know they'll always tell of who you are, so forever I am thankful for the scars. These scars we each have because they let us know God's heart. The scars tell us who God is. Those scars are evidence that he exists. And they'll always remind us, because that scar is not going to go away, of who God is. And we'll know what these scars are, and we'll remember them, learn from them, be stronger because of them. Another stanza, I'm thankful for your scars, because without them, I wouldn't know your heart. And with all my life, I'll tell of who you are, so ever, forever, I am thankful. I'm thankful for Christ's scars, for Jesus' scars, because they let us know God's heart, Jesus' heart. CJ was talking about that in the marriage sermon he gave on the marriage a couple weeks ago, right? The investment, the time, the pain, the angst that Christ went through. God the Father was going through that as too. These scars are what we need to remember. These scars are what we have to live. We have to live these scars because they tell the story of who God has made you to be. They tell the story of what God's done to your heart. Let's go back and look at Psalms 139 again. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance, yet being unformed, and in your book they were all written. The days fashioned for me when as yet there were none of them. We read that in the past, and that's the embryo growing in the mom, right? Not exactly now. It's God's works in your life. His frame, your frame, he knew in the beginning. He knew the scars that you're going to have to face, the mutations you're going to have to overcome before you were yet formed. And it's all there for us in the book. Scars show us God's plan. They show us how he is working in our lives. They showed us how he has planned to be who we are. They show us his agape. They show us who we are too. The scars tell us who God is. This creation, he designed for us. He spent billions of years designing this planet, this being, this body that you are today, that we each are today. He designed those 5 years you've lived so far, those 15 years you've lived so far, 25 years you've lived so far, those 55 years so far, or 85 years, or tell me when I should stop going up, right? He designed those years. The scars tell us of God's ahava or agape. They tell us that he's done what is best for you. They're for us to grow now. They tell us who we are. Yeah, mutations make up our genetics. Our genetics are our core. They tell us who each of us are and who of each of us are uniquely are. But they're our story. Be thankful for who you are, for who God is, for what he is doing in your life. Good trials and bad trials, be thankful and have peace. There's a peace that comes from this. When you start being thankful for those scars, then you can really be at peace because those are you, and you are pretty good because God made you this way. He's working a fearful creation out, and he's making a beautiful creation, right? Peace and thankfulness, they work together beautifully. If you go and study the peace offering, if you like to dig into your Bible this coming spring, study the peace offering and the Todah, or the thanks offering. It's a great Passover study. So who are you? What are you? Where has God lived in your life? Where has God allowed scars to happen in your life? Are you thankful for the scars?